Welcome to Maryland Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Welcome today to Maryland Solutions. I'm so glad you're joining me today. Our guest today is Ned Dockery, author of Fast Lane to Heaven, and he has some fascinating things to tell us today. I want everyone to remember that this is a call-in talk show, and we are looking forward to your calls. We have lines available, and do call Pierce County 253-584-1480. Pierce County 253-584-1480. And if you're in King County, call us toll-free. You don't even have to dial a 1, just 804-5765. Again, that number is 253-804-5765. And Ned has agreed to answer your questions about his near-death experiences, recovery, or visions of the future. So if you have questions in those areas or anything you think that he might be able to help you with, give us a call. He's open and wanting you to call in, too. I want everyone to know that we now have Peter G's Fine Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning with us on our commercials, helping us to support this program. And if you have some Easter cleaning needs to have your carpet cleaned, spruced up for the season that we're coming into and enjoying a nice clean carpet for your home, be sure and call Peter at 253-862-0993. Also, Crystal Voyage is still sponsoring our show at Freight House Square in Tacoma. She will be having my angel art prints and originals over in her store for your purchase. Hopefully, by the end of the month, they will be out and available for you. So check out Crystal Voyage in Tacoma. Also, Alala Recovery Centers sponsors this program for recovery needs and addiction. They do a terrific job. I've been there, talked and lectured, and I know the results they get. Call them at 1-800-882-6201 or email them at olala.org and mention you heard them on the air. The Healing Tree is in Auburn, Washington, a metaphysical store for your healing needs. They also have a wellness center there, so go in and get pampered and rejuvenated by going to the Healing Tree in Auburn. Call them at 253-876-9585. Now I would like to introduce my guest for today. Ned Dockery lived a life that someone or anyone searching for power and material wealth would deem successful. And until 1984, an incident that caused his death, that was how life was for him. And while medical personnel struggled to restart his silent heart, Dougherty left his body and experienced a series of events so vivid and unusual that they profoundly changed the rest of his life. According to the Gallup Organization and other near-death research studies, an estimated 13 million adults in the United States have reported having near-death experiences, and this number is growing. This number, however, excludes children's experiences as they have not been totaled. His experience opened the door to encounters with various aspects of the divine spirit, including the Lady of Light, a being Dougherty later clearly identifies as the Virgin Mary. To Dougherty, others who have experienced her presence, and the Lady is guide and teacher for fostering spiritual advancement and sharing the Creator's plan for humankind. He also has ongoing work with his mission of Angels Foundation and is dedicated to responding to people's needs to recognize that we are primarily spiritual beings, that we are created by a divine and loving God, and that we have been incarnated as human beings, that we are here on earth to learn and grow, and that we each have a mission in life, and that when our life on earth is over, we return to our spiritual home, to our God and Creator. Well, Ned, that is a wonderful mission to have for you. We're glad you're here today.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. It's good to be with you. And it's certainly not the kind of mission statement you would expect from a nightclub owner. But I should say at this point, former nightclub owner.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit more about that in a minute. I first heard you talk in Seattle last December at IONS, and I was fascinated with your story. In fact, I sat glued in my chair from 1 in the afternoon until they kicked us out at 5:30 because the janitor had to clean up. And I had some questions at that point that I didn't get answered, but your book definitely does answer a lot of the questions I had. Do you want to share with people how they can get your book?
Well, yes, my book, which is entitled Fast Lane to Heaven, is available in most bookstores. If your bookstore doesn't have one, ask them to order it for you. It is available. You can certainly find it in all Barnes & Nobles and Borders stores. It's also available on my website, which is www.fastlanetoheaven.com. That's fastlanetoheaven.com. And if you order it through my website, I will send you a personalized autographed copy of the book.
Well, I think that's a real treasure, Ned. I got you to sign my book when I was in Seattle listening to you, and I cherish that.
Well, by the way, that was a wonderful experience. You probably know that the Seattle chapter of IONS, which, by the way, we should identify,
right,
as the International Association for Near-Death Studies. And the Seattle chapter is one of the most successful chapters in the United States. I believe we had well over 200 people in the audience there at the time. And anyone who's interested in learning more about the near-death experience can go to the website of IONS. That's www.iands.org. And you can also connect through that site with the Seattle chapter and its fine president, Kimberly Clark Sharp, who I'm sure you know well, Marilyn.
Yes, she'll be on our show in June.
Okay, great. Yeah, Kimberly invited me to Seattle, and it was my first experience in the Northwest, and I certainly enjoyed the warmth and the support that I received from your group there.
Well, we were thrilled to have you, and you had the largest attendance of an audience that we had had at programs at that point. So you were well honored.
Well, thank you.
You mentioned what your life was like before your near-death experience a minute ago, and I thought you might share some of this story with our listeners because it was a pretty fascinating experience that you were living.
Well, when I had the first experience that changed my life, that was back in 1984. And at the time, I was what you would describe as a hedonistic, materialistic nightclub owner. Although I had been raised Catholic, I was probably an atheist at the time. I certainly didn't believe in an afterlife, and I was having too good a time to be bothered with any concept of religion or a god. As a matter of fact, in my arrogant world, I thought I was God. And my motto at the time was, he who dies with the most toys wins. And nothing else mattered to me, and frankly, I had my share of toys. I owned two highly successful nightclubs, Club Marrakesh in the Hamptons in Long Island, New York, and in Palm Beach, Florida. I had a luxury home in the Hamptons and apartments in Palm Beach in New York City. I drove a Mercedes-Benz convertible and traveled by private jet, helicopters, seaplanes, limousines, dined in the finest restaurants. I had all the money, the power, prestige, and women that a single guy in his 30s could even dream about. Now, I really thought I had it made living in that fast lane, or so I thought, until that night, which was July 2nd, 1984, when I had this experience which, frankly, Marilyn, humbled my arrogance.
Would you like to share about that experience?
Well, I certainly would, and in the short time that we have here, boy, it's going to have to be an outline. I tried to cover it more thoroughly in my book, again, which is Fast Lane to Heaven. What happened was I was in an altercation with a business associate in my nightclub. I was the attacker, and although I wasn't physically injured, I had to be pulled away from him by my own security people. And I went outside into an alleyway outside the nightclub, and I was hyperventilating, out of control. I couldn't catch my breath. And at a certain moment, I thought, this is it. This is how it's all going to end. And in a nanosecond of time, I felt my lungs collapse, my heart stop beating, Inexplicably, I looked up into the night sky for some help, and all of a sudden my head exploded and my body collapsed to the sidewalk. And at that point, I was in both cardiac and respiratory arrest.
Well, were you scared at that point?
Well, ironically, my next sensation or awareness was that although my body collapsed to the sidewalk, I felt as if the sidewalk had opened up, because I kept falling down below that sidewalk, I thought. I found myself falling into a deep, dark cavern. I was free-falling, and I realized at a certain point that I was without my physical body, but I was in a vivid state of consciousness. I was vividly aware that I was falling in this darkness, which, considering the events that just took place, that's the kind of place you would expect to go, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
In a dark place.
Right.
And I found myself all of a sudden slowing down, and then I was hovering in this place that I described as a black bottomless pit. Now, that was the first of a number of terms and phrases that I had used to later on describe this experience, which actually came from the Bible, inexplicably so, because as a Catholic, I was never a student of the Bible. That's where I found myself, in this black bottomless pit.
Wow. We want people to know that this is a good time to get your curiosity up and call in about your questions in this regard. Pierce County, 253-584-1480 and 253-804-5765 for King County, and ask Ned your questions about near-death experiences. We will return, Ned, after these short messages. Don't go away. There's lots more to come. See you in a few minutes. Welcome back to Maryland Solutions. We are just having a wonderful discussion today with Ned Dockery, who has had near-death experiences and has much to share from what he learned in that particular experience. First, I would like to remind people to let our sponsors know when you have heard them on the air that you're calling because you did hear them. They want to know that you're out there listening. And when you call Peter G's Fine Carpet and Upholstery, for your Easter cleaning, say hello to them from the show. Our Crystal at Crystal's Voyage had her program, a wonderful store for metaphysical needs in Freight House Square in Tacoma. Or Olalla Recovery Centers are eager to hear from you and answer your questions about recovery. And the Healing Tree is your place in Auburn to go for your wellness center and other metaphysical needs at that different town is from Tacoma. It's just not too far away, but just far enough that you might enjoy going to Auburn if you live closer to that location. So if you wish to reach me for counseling, intuitive readings, classes, we have room for more people in our Thursday night classes right now. Or if you wish to contribute to keeping this program on the air, you can select a topic with your contribution. Call me at 253-845-4907. Or you can email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. And if you are interested in sponsoring this show, call the station, Clay, K-L-A-Y, at 253-584-1480. That's the same number you can call in with your questions, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. Ned, we want to know more about your near-death experience. What is a life review? Did you have one of those?
I certainly did. I had a very vivid life review. And again, in this short period of time, I can't cover everything. But I will get to the life review. But what had happened at a certain point when I found myself in this black bottomless pit, again, I was in a vivid state of consciousness, consciously aware, but without any thought or emotion other than I wanted to escape from this place, and I didn't know what to do. But I soon realized that there was something spiritually ingrained inside of me at that point, which is spiritually ingrained in all of us, And that is when we are in a place of darkness with no other recourse, that we can always call out to God. And as soon as I began to think about my God and Creator, inexplicably for me, by the way, Marilyn, because of the events that had just taken place, but as soon as I thought about God, I found myself floating up out of this black bottomless pit. And the next thing I knew, I found myself sitting up in an ambulance. But when I sat up in that ambulance, an EMT behind me said, "I have no vital signs, we're losing him." And I heard the driver of the ambulance announce over two-way radio that the patient had just coded. And at that point, I floated up and out of the ambulance. And there was a period there as the ambulance was going down that highway, and I was floating up there. I noticed that I no longer had my Rolex watch, and I was really furious about that. And I thought those guys in the ambulance had stolen my Rolex. That's what I was concerned about. And then very quickly, I had not a life review, but an inventory review. I saw all of the important things of my life go by me and just implode into nothingness. All those material possessions, all those toys were taken away from me. And at that point, I was suddenly greeted by a friend of mine who I never expected to see again because he had been killed in Vietnam. And he became my guide through the experience. Now, your listeners have probably heard about that tunnel effect, and believe me, I went into this powerful tunnel of energy, and my friend guided me out into the universe. We were out among the stars, when all of a sudden I was enveloped in this loving, glowing light. Now, again, your listeners have probably heard about that light experience that we, many of us, have experienced. And I have to tell you that we have all failed miserably in trying to describe what it is like to be enveloped in the loving light of our God and Creator. I felt that I was truly at home and in the presence of my God and Creator, and I was totally imbued with His love, despite the life I had been leading. And in this presence, I understood from God that I had been rescued from the life I had been leading, that I had a mission in my life, and that I would return to my life. And it was at that point that God made me understand that when I was placed here on earth in this physical body, I was here on a mission of learning and growth. And God set me on a right path, but I had veered off into a negative path. I became addicted to alcohol, drugs, sex, and material possessions. And that wasn't the way God wanted me to lead my life. And I understood all of this fully at that point. And I couldn't tell you in terms of time, because time and space as we know it in this realm does not exist on the other side. But I felt that perhaps for a nanosecond of time or even an eternity of time, I was enveloped in this nurturing, loving light, and I didn't want to leave. But at a certain point, all of a sudden, my friend was again at my side without any kind of a transition. We were suddenly in this amphitheater where I felt that I was truly at home because I was surrounded with all my spiritual brothers and sisters. And indeed, I knew this was my home because when I looked to the group on the right side, I saw friends and relatives and loved ones who had passed on before me. And it was at this point that I suddenly found myself in a virtual reality where I watched in complete detail my life review, my past life up until that point, which took place from my earliest childhood right up until that evening when I was involved in that altercation.
Well, that's an amazing story, that you saw all your relatives that you had been deceased, and they were there to greet you, apparently.
Right. I even saw a girl that I had gone to high school with who I hadn't even known that she had passed on.
Well, that's amazing. It really, truly is.
And then I had the life review, and I tried to describe it in great detail in my book. But the most important aspect of that life review, Marilyn, had to do with the relationship that I had with my dad. My family had broken apart when I was 5 years old because of my dad's drinking. And I hardly ever saw my dad all through high school, grade school and high school, because he was always in a bar and he was always drunk. And it wasn't until I was in college where when I began to drink myself that I had the only bonding I could have with my dad, and that is from time to time I would go visit him in this bar that he spent his whole life in and have a beer with him. And those were very difficult conversations that we had with each other. And I buried my dad back in 1974. He died of cirrhosis of the liver. And right after I buried him, now keep in mind, I'm watching all of this in my life review.
Right.
After I buried him, I was driving out on an interstate, and a new song came on the radio. It was Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. And it was a song about a dad and his son. And I listened to that song, and I had tears in my eyes because it described the kind of relationship, well, a kind of a lack of a relationship that I had with my dad. But all of a sudden, the very last line in that song I heard, not from Harry Chapin, I heard it in my dad's voice, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw my dad, or the ghost of my dad, sitting in the back seat. And what I heard from my dad's voice was, "He's grown up just like me. My boy, he's just like me." Now, when that...
You're giving me goosebumps.
Well, when that hallucination, as I thought it was, happened in 1974, I thought, well, my dad's gone. He's dead. He's gone forever. And I just had some kind of hallucination, and I'll get over it. But during that life review, I recognized that indeed my dad did try to reach out to me from the other side and to give me a warning and a message that he couldn't possibly give in his life because he was an alcoholic himself. But he wanted to warn me about my own alcoholism, and I didn't get the message. And I went on to drink from 1974 to 84 for another 10 years. I was an active alcoholic for 20 years. And right up until that night of July 2nd, 1984, I watched a vivid review of my life. I saw how my life started to spiral down into this dark vortex because I got into fast lane living. I had these nightclubs in Palm Beach and in the Hamptons, and I'm surrounded by all beautiful people and a lot of money, but I was also surrounded by a lot of cocaine and a lot of dangerous situations, and my life was spiraling downward. And it culminated in that experience on the night of July 2nd, 1984, when I was actually strangling and almost murdering my business associate because he had been arrested that morning for possession of cocaine. I wasn't angry that he had the cocaine. I was angry that he was stupid enough to get caught with it. and I thought that I actually could eliminate the problem by eliminating him. That's how crazed and immoral and low my life had become at that point from all of these negative activities, the drinking and the drugging and the materialism and the meaningless sex. My life was devoid of any true meaning. At that point, I certainly had lost the spirit or the spiritual self that I was as a youth growing up, going through Catholic school.
Wow, that's amazing. We still have open lines for people to call in. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. We'll be glad to hear from you. Maybe you've had a near-death experience. Maybe you are in recovery, whatever your questions might be about. Maybe about the visions he had with Mother Mary. And join us, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. It's more to come and some pretty interesting, amazing prophecy. Thank you. Be back. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We're having a great talk here today with Ned Dougherty, author of Fast Lane to Heaven. And you can reach him at his webpage, fastlanetoheaven.com. And his book is available signed through that. Or you can go to the local bookstores and get his book out of your local bookstore. when you are able to make that trip. So I first want to inform my listeners that next week we were going to be hearing more about prayer and meditation and the answers to our world and country problems that Ned's going to be talking about shortly, how powerful prayer can be, because Meredith Ann Puryear will be here next week, and she's the author of Healing Through Meditation and Prayer. She's on the staff of the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, and I will have a copy available free for my listeners, the first one to call in. So be sure and listen next week for your free copy of her book. And the following week, Kevin Tadashi, author of many books about Edgar Cayce, and also he will be talking about dream interpretation. He has several books out about that, and soulmates, and everybody's always interested about that. So he will be on in a couple weeks, and you can ask your questions about your soulmates and your dreams. But now we want to get back to Ned. We don't want to waste any more time because he has so much to share with us. Ned, when you were having your experiences, you also contacted Archangel Michael, and he spoke to you. I found on your webpage his message, and I thought maybe you could, maybe in a synopsis, tell people what you were told in that regard. I found it to be absolutely fascinating.
Well, Marilyn, if you would, if it'd be all right with you, I'd like to hold on to St. Michael's message, because that was actually part of the second near-death experience
okay.
that I had months after the first one.
That's fine.
And it was actually, it was an experience I needed, because it was you know, after I had the first experience on July 2nd, 1984, I was struggling with everything I had been shown and struggling with my own life. There was a part of me that wanted to dismiss all of this and go back to my old ways. And then I had the second experience, which I needed, because I realized at that point that God really did have a mission in life for me to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Michael's message was a confirmation of that mission.
I see.
But what was most poignant for me was that when I was resuscitated from that second experience, I had been miraculously cured of my craving for alcohol.
Wow.
Which I had probably from the time I was about 5 years old. But to go back to my first experience, it was right after I had the life review when I found myself in a beautiful garden setting with the Lady of Light. And it was during that part of the experience where the Lady of Light showed me visions of my future life, many of which have come true, including the writing and publication of this book. And she also showed me many visions of the future of the world, both geophysical changes and geopolitical changes. And among the geophysical changes that I had been shown in a series of visions, all the scenes that I had been shown are scenes that are leading us to exactly what is happening now, years later, and that is global warming. And I find now that the scientists lately have been predicting scientifically many of the predictions and visions that I had been shown back in 1984. But then there was the geopolitical events that were to take place but didn't necessarily have to take place in the future of mankind. Now, remember, I was shown these events back in 1984 when I was clinically dead in that ambulance. And the Lady of Light showed me, while she was showing me a globe of planet Earth, she was pointing to the Middle East, and I saw flash points of light breaking out all over the Middle East and Eastern Europe and then over into the Far East, into Russia and China. And a Lady of Light told me that these represented acts of terrorism and war, and at the same time I was being shown visions and glimpses of this war. And I saw this large arid land, this massive land, this mountainous and desert area, which I described in my book, and I now realize is Afghanistan, because she told me this is where everything would start. And she told me that these acts of terrorism and war would be perpetrated by people in search of power and control, and that they would use God and religion to try to justify their wars. And she told me that it was never part of God's plan for mankind that we should war against each other. And I saw through a series of visions how these acts of terrorism and war, which actually started in 1995, of my visions would culminate in, unfortunately for us, what happened on September 11th. Now, you may remember, Marilyn, my book was published back in March of 2001.
Exactly.
And on page 252, I was inspired to write that a major terrorist attack may befall New York City or Washington, D.C., severely impacting the way we live in the United States. And, of course, as we now know, a 911, indeed, that did happen.
Did anyone take your warning seriously?
Well, prior to 911,
right.
I don't know, Marilyn, there were a lot of visions, in addition to that, that are in the book, and of events that I believe are going to take place in the future. Unfortunately, I guess the people that are in power and control don't take those of us who have these mystical experiences and these warnings seriously. Because, you know, a lot of these dire events that may take place in the future would not necessarily have to take place. Lady of Light told me that if we, as a civilization, if we, humanity, humankind, return to God and to God's plan for us, that we could avoid many of the terrible events that I saw that were part of our future unless we did return to God. The Lady of Light told me that the way for mankind to return to God was through prayer and meditation, through prayer to call to God, and through meditation to hear His messages. But the Lady of Light also showed me visions of what would be a hopeful future for mankind, and that would be as a result of a global spiritual transformation that could take place in our future. And Marilyn, didn't we really see the beginnings of that after 911?
Exactly.
We saw a global spiritual transformation taking place, even in our own country here. We saw God Bless America signs going up all over. And we reunited as a country. We reunited patriotically, but also spiritually. Unfortunately, although I'm proud of my country and proud to be an American, it isn't about God blessing America. It's about God blessing the world. You know, Marilyn, no one ever came back from a near-death experience where they believed they were on the other side in a heavenly place and saw a particular national flag flying.
Right.
God blesses all of mankind.
Well, that's a beautiful message. And I think that people need to understand that, in my opinion, 9/11 was a wake-up call to do exactly what you're saying, is to return to God first in our priorities. I was very concerned about many of the things that you mentioned along with 9/11 in your book, such as the imminent dismissal or falling apart of the financial and banking institutions in our country. That's scary for me, or no longer being able to defend ourselves from foreign troops, especially the Chinese army. And the one that's even the greatest, scariest one that you brought back in your, or have in your last chapter, is about shadowy and publicly unknown world figures gaining control and taking away our individual freedoms for their own manifesting of their power. And I don't really want to participate in that if I don't have to.
Well, I describe many of these events in great detail, and as I said before, I was shown that this didn't necessarily have to be our future if we turned the tide spiritually. Of course, we'd have to turn the tide not only in this country, but globally. We would have to become more attuned to God's plan for us.
Well, I think that more and more people are starting to recognize that with the 9/11 situation. Hopefully that this will occur, that people are getting the message of what's really important in life, and that the material maybe is not as important as we put it up there on that pedestal to be.
Well, unfortunately, if we don't get the message, if we return to pre-911 in terms of our materialism and our greed, and just looking out for ourselves and not realizing that we are part of a global community, certainly a global spiritual community. Once we leave this realm, we are in a realm where everyone who comes to this earth and incarnates physically are part of our spiritual community. We are all brothers and sisters. And aren't we doing a terrible job at being brothers and sisters around the world? That is something that has to change. And historically, going back through, as you, I'm sure you've studied ancient civilizations, every time that mankind has progressed to a point where he became all about materialism and greed and moved away from God, there was something that shook up the world on a massive scale.
It's interesting that you say that, Ned, because last night I pre-recorded a program for later on to be played while I'm on a trip, and exactly is what happened to Atlantis, and that's what this program was about, was that they got away from their real goal as far as God first in their lives. They became very materialistic and militaristic, and of course we know what happened to Atlantis. It actually, through periods of time, became obliterated. And it was their wake-up call, which they did not pay attention to. And what I'm seeing is we keep getting these lessons until we finally catch on.
Well, I came away from that experience disbelieving in what I previously thought of as I was being brought up as a child, as a wrathful God who pointed his finger and punished us. In fact, God created a universe with universal laws and a physical world with natural laws. And everything that happens is a result of what we do or what we fail to do. When we do good work, we send out a positive energy into the world, into the spiritual atmosphere, if you will. And when we do immoral or negative things, we send out a negative energy. And is that those energies that we create, both positively and negatively, that creates the spiritual atmosphere, if you will, in this world in which we live. So everything is of our own doing. You know, it's too bad that we don't have a weather channel that we could turn into on TV to see what we're doing to the spiritual atmosphere.
What a terrific idea.
If we could take the temperature and the barometer of the spiritual atmosphere by every little act that we do, both positive and negative, we would soon realize how we have to love each other to be of service of mankind and create more positive energy around the world.
Well, Ned,
one way to do it is through prayer.
Right, Ned, we're going to come back and talk more about that and solutions, hopefully, for this problem and dilemma we find ourselves in. So stay tuned to this exciting conversation. After these messages, we will return. Thank you. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. Hopefully we're hearing some solutions today that will help us through the 9/11 and possibly other catastrophes and terrorist acts that are going to be forthcoming. We don't always know when that would happen, but at least there are answers today. And Ned has some of those to help share with us today, Ned Dockery, in his book, Fast Lane to Heaven. Be sure to get your copy, and especially the prophecies in the last chapter, even if you aren't into dear death, you might be interested in some of the things that we need to hopefully pray about and forewarn people that we don't have to go through those experiences when our focus is in the right direction. So, Ned, do you want to share more about that?
Well, I think what I should do is bring your listeners to the end of that first experience.
All right.
On that evening of July 2nd, 1984. I was shown alternatively a future world of peace. And in my book, I described several dates that I thought were important. First of all, I saw that there would be a transitional period that would take place between 1998 and 2001. And certainly we did go through a transition. And now the whole world is aware of that transition as a result of 9/11. We're going to go through a dire period of geopolitical and geophysical changes. I believe, for about the next 7 years. There'll be another transition between 2008 and 2012, I believe. And during that transition, we're going to enter an era of peace. And I believe all of that will take place, again, through the power of prayer and through meditation and the return of mankind to God. And I saw a wonderful world. I saw future visions of the world. And the last year of those visions I saw was the year 2034. And I understood, by the way, that this would be a period known as the end times. And that doesn't mean that 2034 is the end of the world. What I saw and understood about this end time period was it would be not the end of the world, but the end of the world as we knew it. And indeed, on 9/11, didn't the world change for all of us as we knew it?
Exactly.
So we are now in uncharted ground, but we are given signs and indications of where we should be going. And I had that second experience in the fall of 1984, and that's when I received that message from St. Michael the Archangel, which frankly I can only describe as a dire warning to the people of the United States of America to return to God to avoid the destruction of this country.
And that message is on your webpage. I encourage people to find it there and read the entirety of it. It's not overly long, but it is very powerful.
It's obviously, Marilyn, as you could see, even the style of the wording, this is not a message from a nightclub owner. This message came to me very powerfully. Several editors who had worked on the book tried to mess with the wording in there, and they felt that their hand being pulled away when they tried to make a change. And it is word for word, just as I received it, on the website at fastlanetoheaven.com. And just to read one very important paragraph in there about this country, what St. Michael said, "You have become a nation further and further from the spirit and the influence of God. You have created sciences and philosophies to support activities that only recognize earthbound realities, that not only refuse to recognize the spiritual nature of man himself, but refuse to recognize even the existence of God." And I believe encapsulated in that one paragraph is the problem that we face in this country in these times.
I agree. You also went to Egypt and had some wonderful experiences. You want to share about that real quickly?
Yes, that was 10 years later. You know, from those experiences in 84, I had to grow mentally, physically, emotionally. I had to recover from my alcoholism, and thanks to AA, which I became very involved in, I recovered from that. And it was in the fall of 94 that I had this sense of quickening. I was actually at a Catholic shrine in Eastport, New York, where a visionary woman prayed over me. And she gave me a message which indicated to me that now was the time for me to begin to write and to assume the mission that God had given me 10 years before. And as part of that, I was drawn to go to Egypt. And when I went to Egypt, I was drawn to this small church in Zaitoum, Egypt, where the Virgin Mary appeared as the Lady of Light from 1968 until 1971 over the dome of this church in Zaitoum. And when she appeared, she was photographed and videotaped, seen by thousands of Christians, Muslims, and Jews. And at the time, many times she appeared carrying an olive branch, the sign of peace. Did anyone get the message? That was during the Egyptian-Israeli War, when there were terrible things going on in the Middle East. Lourdes, Fatima, Medjugorje, wherever she appears, she always appears in warning of terrible things that are about to happen. Now, you can go to my website and see some of the photos and the video evidences of her appearances back in during that time. But she also started appearing again in a church, over a church, in Eshut, Egypt, which is in southern Egypt. St. Mark's Cathedral in Eshut, Egypt, which happens to be one of the places where the Holy Family stayed 2,000 years ago. What else is significant about Eshut is it is also believed to be the birthplace of the Egyptian Islamic fundamentalist terrorist movement.
Mm.
She started to appear back in August of 2000 through January of 2001. And that's where much of the terrorist activity that we see now originated.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
And I had my own experiences at Our Lady of the Island Shrine in Eastport, New York. And those experiences were back in 94 and 95. And what concerned me about that at the time was once that she started to appear here and to give us warnings in this country, I knew that we were about to face terrible things. And indeed, 9/11, the World Trade Center is just 60 miles west of Our Lady of the Island Shrine in Eastport, New York.
How are we supposed to respond to God and understand the work and His plan, in your opinion?
Well, I think the message is very, very simple. It is through prayer and meditation. Lady of Light told me, the prayer is the most powerful weapon in the arsenal of humanity. She told me to help form groups of prayer. People in prayer throughout the world would form groups. And these groups would pray for the betterment of mankind. And it's through the powerful, positive energy that's created from that prayer that's sent out into the spiritual atmosphere that will change the tide for the betterment of mankind.
Maybe you'd like to spend just a few minutes explaining your community that you've started, Mission of Angels Foundation.
Well, the Mission of Angels Foundation was something that I had been shown during that first experience. I was given the mission statement, which you read, and also the goals for the Mission of Angels Foundation, and I was shown where it would be placed. It was in a mountain valley area up in northeastern Pennsylvania, an area called Sugarloaf. It's where I had grown up. And I have since returned back to that area. And when my book came out, there were so many people, volunteers, who came to me and said, I read your book, I heard about the Mission of Angels, and it resonated with me, and I want to become part of the Mission of Angels Foundation. And without going into great detail, it's a mission about good works, being of service to mankind, creating miracles in the lives of people who need miracles, children with terminal diseases, the children and family members of those who were lost during the terrorist attacks. And ultimately, the vision I was shown was of a retreat center that I would build, that I would describe as a holistic spiritual spa, a retreat center for people to go to work on mind, body, and spirit, a place to re-energize and rejuvenate our, not just our bodies or our minds, but our spirit, encompassing.
Thank you, Ned. We need to thank you today for your enlightening and informative time here. We have learned so much from you, and I know my listeners and I are both very intrigued and want to thank you again for appearing on this show.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Oh, thank you, and we hope maybe we can even have you again. You have so much to share. And next week, Meredith Ann Puryear will tell us more about that power of prayer and healing through meditation and prayer. So stay tuned next Wednesday at noon for Solutions with Marilyn. We're so glad you were here today, and please tune in again next week. See you then, and remember to do something nice for someone else. It will pay off. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Marilyn Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Marilyn Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Marilyn's Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Marilyn's Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.